I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council Tuesday, February 21st, 2012. Would you all please stand and rise with us for a moment of silence tonight? And we do this moment of silence in honor of Hazel Jean Perrault, the mother of our city manager, and our hearts and prayers go out to he and his family.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Tonight's flag salute is going to be led by Alex Russell. Alex Russell. She is 10 years old, a fifth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. She enjoys science, spelling, and language arts at school. She says that she enjoys the nice people who live in our community and visiting her friends and grandma. Alex wants to be an auto mechanic like her father when she finishes her education. That's great. She enjoys running and collecting bouncy balls. She's accompanied this evening by her principal, Juan Alvaria, and her parents. And you have a brother. And I see a sister. I don't see the brother. Anyway, Alex, would you like to lead us?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Alex, we have something for you. Here's a certificate for leading us tonight in our pledge of allegiance. So, you know, take a picture. And here's a school. So, let's shake everyone's hand.
Thanks for being here.
You can work on my car when you grow up.
Good for you.
Oh, I'm going to take a drink of water.
Yeah, you should have brought a cup of tea. Like
some tea, huh?
Yeah, tea.
Very good. Roll call.
I'll get it right in a second, maybe.
Successor agency.
You are now the successor to the redevelopment agency, okay. And as such, by March 1, there needs to be a adoption of the payment schedule.
Okay.
Staff, since the last meeting in February was canceled, this now did not make it to the agenda in the regular time frame. We now need to add it to the agenda based upon the cancellation of that last meeting in February. It has to be done before March 1.
So are we adding that as item number 10, or is that just?
It could be as item number 10, yes.
Okay.
And it requires a two-third vote of council.
So it's under regular business then?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, we can make it item 11. I was thinking of putting it before the city manager's report, but to keep everything nice and orderly, we will add it to item number 11. Any other changes?
I would make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented with the addition of the emergency item number 11.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion, there's a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Very good. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar this evening. This is item number one on our agenda. And this is a proclamation designating Tuesday, February 28, 2012, as Spay Day USA. And I should have talked to you ahead of time. Councilmember Peterson, would you like to present this? Or?
Sure. Whereas cats and dogs provide companionship to and share the homes of over 71 million individuals in the United States, and whereas humane societies and shelters have to euthanize approximately 4 million cats and dogs each year, although many of them are healthy and adoptable due to a lack of critical resources such as money, space, and good adoptive homes, And whereas the problem of pet overpopulation costs the taxpayers of this county millions of dollars annually through, of this country, millions of dollars annually through animal control programs aimed at coping with the millions of homeless cats and dogs. And whereas spaying and neutering cats and dogs has been shown to drastically reduce cat and dog overpopulation. And whereas veterinarians, humane societies, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens work together to ensure the spaying or neutering of more than 20,000 companion animals through Spay Day USA in 2011, and whereas veterinarians, humane societies, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens have joined together again to advocate the spaying and neutering of companion animals on Spay Day USA in 2012. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Grover Beach that Tuesday, February 28, 2012, is designated Spay Day USA. The City Council encourages all residents to observe the day by having their own cats and dogs spayed or neutered, or by sponsoring the spaying or neutering of another person's cat or dog.
Very good. And I believe, is Mary here?
Oh, it's okay. Mary.
So, Mary, why don't you come on up? She's with the Feline Network of the Central Coast.
But I own a business here in Grover Beach. My name is Mary Ginnekemper. I'm a Feline Network volunteer. But tonight I'm here representing all of the animal rescue groups that focus in this area, as well as the shelter, to thank the City of Grover Beach in recognizing the importance of spaying and neutering our animal companions by issuing the proclamation right here tonight. There are a number of organizations, as well as the shelter, that work to reduce the problem of animal overpopulation. Overpopulation meaning there are more adoptable animals available than there are homes. I am happy to report that there is a new nonprofit that is focusing efforts in the Paso Robles area called PAWS Cause. The proven and humane method to reduce animal overpopulation is by spaying and neutering. Organizations cannot do it all. If you have an unaltered pet, make that appointment for spay or neuter. Your pet will be happy you did. Thank you for having me here tonight.
Very good. Thank you for being here. Did any of the council members have any comments on the proclamation?
I would just like to say that I do participate with the Feline Network many times with my animals. I've adopted two feral cats that Feline Network did spay for free. And so I do support them charity-wise also. So thank you.
Very good.
Me too.
2012. A little bit of focus tonight on the Sanitation District and what has changed at the Sanitation District since 2011. On a small permanent staff of around 10, three employees were laid off or fired last year. Two were whistleblowers whose claims of inadequate management were supported by investigators. The other was the chief operator at the plant. It's unclear whether the performance of the wastewater treatment plant has actually improved since multiple notices of violation in 2011, or has the staff just been scaled down to a point where apathy, complacency, or fear have set in. We want to make sure that there's a focus on quality. The way that wastewater treatment plants are regulated is through whistleblowers. The employees hold certifications with the state, and if they sense any violations that aren't being reported, they're supposed to come out as whistleblowers. Two whistleblowers did come out. They were laid off or fired last year, and this sent shockwaves through the staff. Meanwhile, upper management remains in place. Grand jury findings and multiple conflicts of interest led management to further complicate the way conflicts are mitigated. This is the bending of light I've been referring to. It guarantees that citizens won't question it because they'll become so frustrated in trying to understand it, they'll just give up. That is not representation. I'd like to ask the Council of Grover Beach to reconsider your representation on the Sanitation District. Put that on the agenda. agenda when we can have the discussion that was discussed in last September's meeting. Feel that our Surfrider chapter has lost trust in the board of directors there. Our chapter would like to advocate to the sanitation district again. We'd like to be a part of the process there at the district. We want to assure that what goes out the outfall pipe, only 600 yards long in Oceano, is meets state regulation standards, and that that environmental health standards are also met for the people, the beachgoers, and for members of Surfrider. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Snook. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communication? Okay, seeing none come forward, I'm going to close public communications and bring it back to the council. But let's move on to our first public hearing tonight. This is item number two on the agenda, and this is a capital improvement project, train station expansion project, Community Development Director Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Now, since the completion of the Amtrak station in 1996, the train facility has been located at the southeast corner of Highway 1 and West Grand Avenue, while the bus and the loading have been located on the opposite side of the railroad tracks on the east side. The current design reduces the efficiency and convenience of the transfer between buses and the trains. In 2008, the council reviewed several alternatives to resolve the issues and determined the best solution was to relocate the bus drop-off directly adjacent or to the south of the existing train station on property owned by San Luis Obispo County. This would integrate the rail and bus operations to create a true multimodal or transit station. In 2008, the city, the county, and SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo Council's governments, entered into a memorandum of understanding to work together on expanding the train station. The project was subsequently added to the city's capital improvement program. In the last 2 years, a biological survey of the site was completed. RIC Engineering was hired to prepare a conceptual grading and site plan, and Rincon Consultants was hired to prepare a draft mitigated negative declaration for the project. In addition, city staff has worked with the Caltrans staff to address access issues to the site, and we've also worked with San Luis Obispo County Parks staff to ensure their goals were met in providing an additional access to the Coastal Dunes RV Park. The proposed project will be constructed in two phases on a 2.8-acre site. And let me just provide some orientation here. So this is the existing train depot building, the chamber building, and the restrooms. The project, or the entry here south, creates a better situation. At the main entry here, there would be a dedicated, it's hard to see on this, let me try if this site plan will work better.
Much better.
If you come in the entry here, you'll circle around, and this entire lane here is a dedicated bus loading and unloading area. So you would have a about 400 square foot covered bus shelter, if you will, located about here with your buses loading in this hatched area. And then from here you'd have some stairs or a ramp that would give you direct access to the existing platform. And the platform extends from the depot all the way down to this location here. So direct access from the bus now to the platform as well. Project would add about 40 additional parking spaces here. This would be for additional short and long-term parking by transit users. There are park and ride opportunities, and it could serve as a future trailhead parking for accessing city trails and bike paths consistent with the city's bicycle master plan. As you come into the site, you kind of have an entry feature traffic circle here. You will have detention basins located here as well as along this stretch, and the additional areas would be landscaping. In addition, another feature would incorporate a pedestrian walkway. Here's the south or the north end of the existing RV park. There would be a trail connection as part of phase one that would allow pedestrians to access all the way through the site and ultimately get you to the corner of Highway 1 mm-hmm. and Grand Avenue. This is beneficial in the sense because it's improving access to the beach and the visitor serving area of West Grand Avenue. Currently, there is no safe pedestrian access. People do walk on the shoulder or along the side of the road. So that's phase one. Basically, that's delineated by this line. Everything north of the entry would be developed by the city as part of the project. Phase two, in getting back to the MOU that was entered into with the county, their main goal for this project was to provide an additional access to the existing Coastal Dunes RV Park. So they would still maintain the entrance further to the south, but their phase two, when funding was available, would be essentially a one-way drive. It would come in here, and this would be a new entry kiosk for them. There would be a right out only at this location here for any RVs that got stuck, and I failed to mention there would also be a right-hand only turn leaving the site here for people that came into the train or bus. They would not have to circulate and go back to the main entry if they were going north. So that's, in summary, a description of the site plan. As far as policy consistency, the project is located in the coastal zone and requires approval of coastal development permit. The proposed project is consistent with the goals and policies of the general plan, the West Grand Avenue master plan, and the city's economic development strategy. The project does also meet the development standards for the coastal plan commercial zone. An initial study and draft mitigated neg deck was prepared for the project and identified potential impacts to air quality and biological resources. As a result of incorporating the recommended mitigation measures, the project would not have a significant impact on the environment. So if the project is approved as proposed, the next step would be to prepare construction documents. This would involve working with Caltrans, Union Pacific, and the Army Corps of Engineers. The city would also need to work with the county to prepare a land lease for the site. The preliminary engineer's estimate for the project is about $2 million, which includes construction costs and all soft costs, engineering and surveying and so forth. The project is eligible for funding from Proposition 1B monies from the state, which are allocated by SLOCOG. 2 weeks ago, SLOCOG was awarded $1 million for this project, or in essence to the city. They hold on to the money until the project is under construction. However, as shown in the staff report, additional funding will be necessary to fully fund the project. One possibility for source of additional funding could come from a second round of Proposition 1B funding to be programmed by SLOCOG early next year for fiscal year 13-14. In conclusion, the proposed project would provide several benefits. It would create a multimodal transit center that would serve Amtrak trains and buses with a seamless connection for visitors and commuters. It would further enhance the use of alternative transportation modes. Ample parking would be provided for train and bus riders, van pooling, carpooling, and future trailhead. It would combine the train and bus.
Thank you. I do have a couple. More, I guess, clarification. First of all, really a nice report, and it was easy to read, and it was very thorough. I thank you for that. I'm wondering about, we're talking about the wetlands, 0.16 acres that met the three perimeter federal criteria. And then there's the other one that met the one perimeter wetlands. Can you discuss that a bit, please?
Sure. Basically, the 1.7 acres of the 2.8 acre site is willows. And under the state or the Coastal Act, if you have soil, water, or plants, any of the three, it can be defined by them as a wetland. And so basically the willows, being a wetland species, that defines it as as a one-parameter wetland. And the mitigation for that is, I'll say, fairly simple. We just need to replace in kind, likely off-site, or the potential for through a mitigation bank. The federal wetland is an area that is just a depressed area that's basically this area between the parking lot and the street. The Army Corps of Engineers defines a wetland that meets all three of those parameters. And so when they surveyed the site, it was about 0.16 acres, a very long and narrow area, again, in that strip. Because of the entries to the site, we did have to disturb about 0.06 acres of that. And so what we would do is enhancement on site and have to recreate the areas that are lost as a result of those entries.
I see. So the one-parameter, three-parameter, that just takes into consideration those items that
It's just defining the type of wetland.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. So then if we were to do an off-site mitigation at a 2-to-1 ratio, do you have any idea where that might happen?
I've been in contact with a couple of the resource agencies and local organizations, so we will pursue that. And there was also the mitigation left some flexibility for, again, the purchase of credits or putting money into a mitigation bank if available, yes.
Right. Okay, but there would be some place for us.
We will find a place. Yeah.
Okay. And then I think my last question at this point in time is, under hydrology, we're saying the increased runoff, the exact size of the location and basins would be determined after the final drainage study is completed. If the ultimate location of the basin affected the county's current usable area, the lease agreement with the county would take this into consideration. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit, please?
Yeah, the basin is proposed to be south of the entry here in the existing willowed area. It's a preliminary hydrology study. As we go through the final, if for any reason we can't go deeper or get the volume of water confined in that area, then there was a possibility it would have to extend further to the south into the existing RV storage location, which is usable area for the county. And so We've met with them. Our goal is obviously to keep it within the willow area, not encroach onto their usable area. But through the final drainage study, some of those things could be reduced by incorporation of pervious pavers or other things, too, that could keep the amount of on-site volume that needs to be retained to the lowest extent possible.
Okay. But the county, they're on board with that and open to that kind of a discussion?
They are. Mr. Black, the County Parks Director, is here tonight as well.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem.
Good report. Thank you very much. The first question I have is on the roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed, according to the diagram I have, you've got the center of that roundabout about 47.5 feet, which is good. I like that. But the road going in is 25 feet wide, whereas the road coming out is only 17.5 feet wide. Any idea why it was designed that way? Why that isn't the same width on both sides of the roundabout?
It is conceptual. It may have more to do with ultimately you would have large RVs entering on that side, and which could even be larger than buses, and so they may have had more ample width to approach the traffic circle and veer to the right. But it would be definitely something that will, in final design, determine if that's necessary or not.
Okay, well, that's the only exit that a vehicle can go north on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would anticipate that some of those larger vehicles, motorhomes and what have you, will be using that exit. And yet that seems to be, the road narrows down considerably, and you have that space right adjacent to it between the road and the... Okay, then the Army Corps of Engineers permit. Working with the Army Corps of Engineers normally takes forever. Is that what we're facing?
We would want to start immediately in preparing a mitigation plan and submitting our nationwide permits to them, yes.
For them? Okay. We have the other permits, the Pacific Union Pacific encroachment permit, and also what's the other one? We have another one, Caltrans encroachment. All of those permits generally take a long time.
And yes, as soon as we start the construction drawings, we're going to want to coordinate with those agencies so we get a design that satisfies them.
Haven't we worked with them to some extent up to this point so they have some idea of what we're doing here?
Yes, and again, by all means, we met with Caltrans several times to make sure that we were proposing ingress and egress, you know, entryways that would satisfy their requirements, and we're hoping that will make the encroachment permit process with them go a lot quicker because we have a plan that works.
Okay. Very good. That's all I have.
Okay. Councilmember Peters.
No questions.
My own. Councilmember Warner.
Oh, well, Councilmember Bright asked most of my questions about the wetlands and on the drainage basin, the one that's going to be in the Willow area south of the project, is that going to be similar to the Mentone drainage basin?
In what way?
You know, just how it looks. You're going to have a fence around it?
Based on the depth, you would have to have a decorative fencing of some type around it, but this will be basically a pretty solid willow vegetated area.
Oh, so it'll just drain into the existing, you're not going to dig it out?
Those are things we'll be investigating as part of soils report.
Okay. And we are keeping the current parking that we have now, and there'll be in and out access there.
Correct. All the parking is retained with the exception of a few spaces that were actually located on the across from the chamber building. There's a few spaces on the west side. And right now we believe that's primarily the area right here that we would be using for on-site recreation of the wetlands.
Okay. And so then would the majority or quite a few of the spaces in the existing area become handicap parking then?
Yes.
Okay. And the driveway, so it's only one vehicle at a time coming in. There's not going to be any concern about, you know, those are some big RVs and things that pull through, as we see going all the time down Grand. Is it sufficiently large enough so that there isn't a backup problem?
Yes. I mean, first of all, that's why the left-hand turn lane stacking is adequate for many large vehicles. And part of the reason for the traffic circle is actually to keep traffic flowing. So if you're coming in and you're an RV, you'll veer off to the right. There's no stop. It'll be a continuous movement. Likewise, for a bus would come up and then across into the loading, unloading area.
Okay. So their check-in is further down in that little square box there, right? So that there won't be a backup problem.
Correct.
Okay, that's it. Oh, the question about the potential extra funding, the next round of, what is it, you said 1B?
Correct.
Is there any requirements that would, I don't know, what I wanted to say is this will be an existing project that we might already be undertaking. That doesn't make it so that we can't qualify. I mean, you can have an existing project.
Correct. And we would hope that because this project is partially funded that we would score high for the remaining funding.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to go to you. Just to kind of fill in that, which from SLOCOG being your representative on SLOCOG, I know that through the Prop 1B funding there is scheduled, I think, total $12 million that is planned to come to San Luis Obispo County. And that is specifically for rail and anything other than automobiles. And so there's three projects that are really vying for these funds. And it's this project, it's a downtown multimodal center in San Luis Obispo that's not nearly as far along as we are, and then I believe Atascadero. And so if we're able to move forward and we've made significant progress or sort of shovel ready, I think then there is an opportunity for additional funding. So, yeah, I think Bruce is right. It doesn't preclude us from applying for additional funds. So, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, Bruce, I have one more question. I remember early on in our discussions regarding this whole project, there was some talk about establishing or putting in a building that would possibly house some retail, possibly a restaurant, and or other things, and I don't see anything like that in this drawing. Has that been dropped, or is it still something we're going to consider at a later date, or what?
We didn't include it in this particular project. What
I'm just kind of curious if you guys have kind of thought through the next steps and what that timeline might look like, because I think Bill's right on when he's talking about trying to get permits through the Army Corps of Engineer and dealing with the railroad. And I think Caltrans obviously has been very cooperative, because I know you've been coordinating with them with respect to the number of entry, ingress, and egress points off of Highway 1. So have you guys thought of a timeline on this?
As the staff report explains, we do have these LTF funds that could be transferred. And at that point, based on council direction, I mean, the first thing we would do is have a soils study done and probably some surveying of the site as well, and do an RFP so we could get a consulting firm on to prepare the construction documents.
Okay. And then, so if the council takes action tonight, then how quickly would we be looking this to going out, an RFP going out for the construction drawings?
30 to 60 days.
Okay, because then obviously we'll be able to refine costs based on that, and the number could, in theory, go down.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to, we would want to talk through some more about what things, we probably would want to have the soils report done, maybe not necessarily when the RFP was going out, but shortly thereafter, so we could talk to the consultant about soils conditions. So it would be something that we could move on immediately, though.
Okay. And then I did have a question regarding funds, and I think Phyllis asked that, so I'm not going to belabor this. So at this point, let me open this up to the public. Did you have another question?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Is there anything that could come up in the SORO report that would prevent us from doing this?
I really don't think there's anything that prevents you from doing the project. The question is, if this is a previous fill location when they built the railroad and there's a lot of debris that has to be removed, those things would add to the cost. In addition, the topographical information to date is basically a spot elevation. You really need to get in, because if there is less soil than you think, then you would need to import more soil. So again, there's just a cost associated with that, and soils conditions can tend to be costly based on the couple of items that examples I just provided.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So let me open this up to the public. I've got two speaker request forms. The first is from Curtis Black from Slo County Parks.
Good evening, Mayor Scholes, members of the Grover Beach City Council. I'm Curtis Black, Deputy Director for your county parks. Pleasure to be here to speak on behalf of this particular project. I've been able to work with your city manager and staff for a couple of years, I think, I'd like to express our support for this particular project. It would have a nominal improvement on safety and entrance access to the Coastal Dunes RV Park. Not certain when dollars would be available for the county to make that part of the improvement, so we may see phase one for quite a while before phase two ever gets started. That being said, I'd like to express also our support for your adoption of the mitigated negative declaration and the related resolution for your coastal development permit. I think this would be an excellent combination of your various modes of transportation all in one location. It'd be wonderful for the community, and we'd like to see it happen. If that is the case, we would look forward to completing that written agreement, land lease, or whatever form it takes for this project to move forward. If you have any questions, County Parks.
Great. Thank you, Curtis. Let me see if there's any questions.
I'll leave our latest newsletter for County Parks with your city clerk.
Very good, and it's always good to see you, Curtis. Josephine Malone.
Good evening. What is the line that you used? I went to a great deal of trouble to get here tonight. I hope it's worth it to you people. I'm hearing a lot about site construction. What I'm not hearing is infrastructure. I'm not hearing a full-service train station. What are we bringing all of these people into? We've got another 100 people getting off the bus. We've got bicyclists coming in. We've got buses coming in. We've got RVs coming in. And what are they coming into? A full-service train station? No. The only building that looks like it belongs to the train station houses the Chamber of Commerce. How are all these people service and not infrastructure? What happened to all the excitement several years ago about making this a full-service train station? I hear all the words, Caltrans. I hear all the words about the people you've talked to. What is Caltrans saying, since they own the trains and run the trains that run up and down the coast? Where is our full service? It makes me think of this, another 100 people just got off of the bus, and it makes me think of another playwright, Throw Mama from the Train. You know, these people get off of the train, and they don't. There's no staff on the train or on the platform to help those people. There is no service. These people are set off the train in the middle of the night with the only secure building with restrooms closed. And there is sometimes an untimely list of the cabs that you might be able to get. There is a very fine police volunteer group who come and help the people if they have staff, if they're at the right time. What happens when Mama gets off the train? She needs to be secure, all of the people. My granddaughter is riding it now, another generation. I was so excited when I got this. And what happened, I'm looking for material, sir, and you people, what happened to all the talk about a full-service train station that was in the effects when I moved here in 06 and 07? Have you pulled that forward? Have you talked to Caltrans about that? Have you talked to the Chamber about giving us our building back again and letting us have a train station office? I plead with you to not just do a site, but do service and give us infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Malone. Is there anyone else that would like to address the item before the council this evening? Okay, see, then I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. So, staff, you've heard some wonderful testimony and some good questions. So, anything you want to respond to?
Yeah, I'm not, this staff person isn't familiar with the conversation that occurred about manning a station in the past, but certainly the council direction to staff in this particular case has been to pursue the construction of a facility, knowing that Proposition 1B monies are available, and those monies are only for the construction of transit center. So I don't know if this helps us get closer or what it takes to become a manned station, but certainly as part of this capital improvement program or project, we have moved forward with designing a plan that integrates bus and rail and provides other opportunities to make it a true transit center. But unfortunately, that was not focused on providing any kind of manned service at this time.
Okay. And just to add to that, and I think Ms. Malone has raised some really good points, and maybe that's something that we should consider as we go forward. I think this is certainly the second phase, if you will, of this train station, and this was, in fact, encouraged by Caltrans, because I think when it was originally designed, they built this bifurcated station, and then I don't think anyone imagined that it would be as successful as it is today. And I know that Caltrans had funded, I think Caltrans, maybe even Slocog, had funded $75,000 to come in and look at some alternatives for enhancing the station. And I know a couple of those had some additional buildings. And they aren't necessarily off the table, but I think this right now is just focusing on at least eliminating that bifurcated bus stop on one side and the train on the other. So there will be some really good enhancements. I noticed that Ms. Malone left. The other thing is I do know that the LOSAN, which is an organization or a JPA that oversees track improvements from San Luis Obispo to San Diego, has done a master plan, and they are looking at doing dual tracking in Grover Beach, which would enhance service. And then there's also a Coastal Rail Coordinating Group from San Luis Obispo, or actually from, I'm going to say, Grover Beach in north to San Francisco, is looking at bringing an additional train service into the community from the Bay Area. So there are enhancements that are coming in the very near future. So this is a great second phase, and I think there'll be some additional discussion about how can we do some things to open up the restroom, make this more secure, and certainly some discussion with Caltrans and Amtrak could be had in the future. So I just wanted to kind of add that discussion or add those points to those questions that were asked. So let's have some discussion on what's presented before us this evening. So let me start to my left. Phyllis?
Where are the existing bathrooms? Actually, it closes that. Is that the parks?
Actually, that's their concessionaire that operates Finn's and the golf course locks and opens that restroom.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Debbie?
I think that it is critical that we take a look at what kind of service we're providing, and I have a lot of empathy for people who are getting off the trains late at night. I believe there is a bus connection around 11:30 at night, and the train comes at midnight, or something comes. I know from personal experience, because when I'm working very late in my office, there are people sitting out at the bus station late at night, and if it were me, I'd be frightened. I'm in a strange town sitting on a bus, you know, bus station like that, and the businesses are closed by then. So I think that there is a need to look at that. I don't know if that's something that we can ask staff to do, to take a look at how we do go about getting a better service for people. I don't know if that's who does I don't know for sure who actually operates the station, but I do often get people coming in asking where they can buy a train ticket, and the answer is you can't. On the train.
On the train.
So I would be in favor of asking staff to take a look at not just passive, we know they're doing something, but more aggressively asking, since we're going to have this great hotel and this great new place here, could we do something about the safety and comfort of the tourists riding the train and the locals riding the train?
Okay. Bill?
Well, I would only comment that in these economic times, there's only so much we can do. I think we're making great progress with the train station as it is. Unfortunately, we don't have the money, and I don't know many communities nowadays that do have the money to all of a sudden throw in all of this infrastructure and staff with the minimum amount of train service that goes in and out and through that station. So I think we're doing the best we can under the circumstances. We certainly have not lost sight of what we need to do for the community and the public in general. We recognize the hotel that's going up, and as that goes up and as business increases, as the service, the train personnel using the train increases, we obviously would definitely take a look at the service that we provide there, and we would increase it as we go along. So we haven't forgotten that. I'm a little disappointed that we again have some of the people within the community that come forth and say, why don't you do all of this? Well, they don't come forth and say, here's a bunch of money, why don't you do this with it? So we're doing the best we can, and I want the people within in Grover Beach to know that we are concerned about service at that train station, and we'll do everything we possibly can to make it as good as we possibly can.
Karen?
Well, hopefully if we build it, it will come. We'll get the man station that we're after, but by staying stagnant, I don't think that's going to happen. So, and all of the folks that have talked to me are extremely excited about moving the bus stop to the other side of the tracks. That's just so inconvenient and really just very troublesome for many people. So I'm really excited about this, and I think that's just a first step in many to get us to where we ultimately will be, which is hopefully a fully manned and served station.
Well stated. I can't say it any better. Nicely done. So I just to add to this, to make sure that we are focused on what's before us tonight, and I did want to say that Caltrans has been a major catalyst in moving this process along, and I'm sure they'll still be there with us. And hopefully, staff, you've talked to them to see if there are some funds available that they could contribute to this. And I know that everyone's in the financial, well, the economic climate is still slowly recovering. But as we know, the state and the feds have money in different pots that you can spend on different things. Some of it, sometimes it makes sense. A lot of times it doesn't make sense. So let's look into that. But I think what Karen said is we definitely want to move. We need to move forward with this because this is a vast improvement over what we have. Mm-hmm. Getting the buses on the same side of the tracks, pedestrian enhancements. And I did want to clarify, I think the Mayor Pro Tem said there's only one way to come out to go north, and there's actually going to be three different ways to do that. So I think we should be okay. And then, as I said earlier, just think of this as the next phase in these enhancements of this project. And so to stay focused on the mitigated neck deck that's before us and the actual project would be great. I think after that, I'd like to offer up some directions to staff that will address many of the concerns brought up by Ms. Malone tonight, because we can't address her issues with this particular project. But this sets the stage nicely to move forward for the additional building for looking at the rest. Motion? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then, since we've dealt with the issue before us, I'd like to see if there's consensus to give staff some direction. And that direction really is, I think maybe it makes some sense to take a look at the restrooms and see how they're functioning and see if there is, in fact, a way to make sure they're more responsive or available for folks. Because I can tell you I've ridden the train from San Diego to Grover Beach on numerous occasions, and it doesn't always get there at 8 o'clock. So, you know, I'm not saying we need to wait there all night, but if there are ways to improve the situation, I think we should. The second part of this direction would be to maybe contact Amtrak and see what are their plans for the station, because I know they are the ones who put the ticketing kiosk in that facility, and if there is anything in the down on the road where they might be looking at, I don't know if it's full service, but if there's an improved service, then maybe that's worth a conversation. I think the other thing is, as we talked about, there could be some future site improvements, such as whether it's a building for retail, a building for something that's more railroad serving. I think we certainly don't want to eliminate that possibility, but just something for us to keep in mind and staff to kind of just keep an eye on and think of next phases. I think the fourth one was the question of taxi service, and I know that's hard for us to really talk about improving taxi service since we have a limited taxi service, but I do believe with the additional parking on the site, it would not be that difficult for someone who has a taxi to be able to come and be at the ready when the trains come in, because they're really only talking at this point, what, four stops per day right now, and it may be improving to six in the near, hopefully in the near future. When I say near future, that's in the next 5 years. And then finally, I know that we're all constrained, and I know the volunteers are out there waiting with people, and I don't know if there's anything that we can do to enhance the service, but maybe just to take another look at that and see what can be done.
All anyway. Good points. I would concur with
you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's move on to our consent agenda this evening, and this is an agenda where we take routine items and consider them as a group. And we looks like we have three items on our consent agenda tonight. The first is the Treasury report for the period of February 1st through the 15th. The second is the minutes of a special joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting of Monday, January 23rd, 2012. And then the last is a grant participation request for a regional greenhouse gas reduction plan. So do any members of the council want to pull any item from consent?
Yes, item five.
Okay.
And I just have a question on item four, just a clarification.
Okay.
I don't want to pull it.
Okay.
I'm sorry I didn't have an opportunity to ask this question earlier, but it's in reference to the accounts payable release. It's what page would this be? Well, it's on the check date is February 2nd, and it's I'm just wondering if the description might be off. It's a $4,000 expense plus for breakfast meeting for Slo County area.
Where is this one? Oh, the last one.
Thank you.
Good evening, City Council. Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. You may recall that with our financial system, if there are multiple lines, that it will only show the very first line that's entered in whenever you're looking at the consolidated register. So you're looking at an item that's more than likely multiple items. It's not just one item for $4,000.
Okay. I was thinking that probably something was up with that description. Okay. Thank you. That's good to know.
Okay. I don't have any requests from anyone from the public to pull any items from consent. So why don't we, is someone prepared to make a motion on items 3 and 4?
I will make that motion that we accept the consent agenda items 3 and 4.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None? Okay, motion carries. And then item 5 was pulled, so we're going to move that after item number 9.
Okay.
Okay. So let's move on to our regular business tonight. This is item number 6. And this is discussion and recommendation regarding formation of a fire protection district and adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment by the Five Cities Fire Authority. Fire Chief Arnaz.
Go ahead. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council Members. Joel Arnaz, Fire Chief, Five Cities Fire Authority. This item before you tonight is a continuation from the February 6th council meeting, an ALS or a paramedic program, and they also wanted to know, they were questioning how the polling was done by Terrain and Associates. Was the Spanish-speaking community polled in this survey? So we have those answers for them that we will take back to them tomorrow night. And as I say, subsequent to that, we went to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting. At that meeting, it was very clear that to a person of that council, they were not in support, nor could they support putting a benefit assessment district proposal on the ballot in June. They also had questions. One council member stated that basically it was a three-legged stool as to why the authority was formed. One was to enjoy the benefits of consolidating costs and being more efficient with the tax dollars that we have. Second was to increase or decrease our response times and have an increase in level of service that way. And those three legs of the stool having been met, they questioned the need to put this benefit assessment before the voters. They did, however, say that they could not, while they could not support it at this time, they would look at this again at some point in the future. So we bring it back to you tonight for direction to take to the authority board on Friday afternoon. It is my concern that if we don't have complete support from all three jurisdictions, that it would probably be a waste of time and money to try to pursue this at this time. However, I sincerely believe that we do need to identify a funding source, an additional funding source, if for no other reason than to create a means for capital replacement, which the authority has no means to do at this time. So changes to federal law or state law that would affect our fire stations or our apparatus that have to be replaced, we have no means to replace those at this time. The Arroyo Grande City Council, the Oceano Community Services District also questioned the need for increased staffing.
Yeah,
in the report, we show three engineers for the Oceano station, as well as three firefighters for the Oro Grande station. And that will help us to meet NFPA 1720 staffing and time requirements. It will also help us to meet Cal OSHA's requirements for two in and two out, which I think are very beneficial to both the residents as well as the firefighters' safety. So at this point, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. So like I say, we'll have direction to take forward to the authority board on Friday afternoon.
Mr. Mayor, if
yes.
I could, further comments on my part. I think that the council needs to keep in mind, especially when we're talking about the special assessment, though the survey was configured so that it reflects additional employees and additional equipment, benefit actually suppression assessment, that's the Prop 218 approach, can also be used to cover existing costs as well as future costs. And I think that's an important distinction in terms of what you might want to think about, because what we're really talking about is the ability to sustain additional services or finding a revenue source to sustain existing services is just as important as finding revenue to add to those services. And we're at such a critical point with our own budget, it is something that we're going to have to consider. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware that it's not just purchasing new equipment or bringing on new employees. It's also covering or sustaining existing services.
Thank you, City Manager. See if there's any questions of Chief. Start to my left.
I have one, and this may not be a question that we have an answer to yet, or maybe it's a question we've already addressed and I'm forgetting. I know a little bit further along in the agenda we're going to look at some options for consolidating dispatch, and I'm wondering if there's any nexus between those, if there's an advantage if we were to move into this, would it have any positive impact on that and the cost savings of that?
The consolidation of dispatch.
City Manager?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. First of all, the existing cost is $1.2 million. That we pay now.
Okay.
That's by contract.
That's per year. Okay.
And it is possible that depending on which way you go, of course, the fire district, you do have the opportunity as a part of the financing mechanism to actually control or cap that amount. Right now, there is no cap on that $1.2 million. It's subject to negotiation on an annual basis. So that could increase under the current situation. That's one of the advantages of going with the district, is you do have the opportunity to cap that contribution. You may have to specify where those dollars are coming from.
Okay, that's my question for the district. What I understood was it would come from part of the tax.
Generally, that's the way it's done. Is you would have to commit to $1.2 million of property tax.
Okay, so then the money that goes into the general fund that we use now comes from property tax.
It comes from several sources.
And sales tax and et
right,
cetera.
Right.
This would strictly come from our portion of the property
right,
tax.
Right. And it would also from all other participating agencies, they would have to contribute in the same way.
Okay. But what we had talked about before, so there was no analysis done to how this would affect us if we chose to go with the district.
Again, the only analysis that was done, and I think it was alluded to in the previous report, is that you would have the advantage of capping these existing costs with the district. You would have the advantage with the special assessment approach of possibly supplementing the existing cost, and probably would be less likely to increase the overall cost of fire delivery services.
Okay. So then the way the assessment works, what I understand here, it'd be so much would be put on each property tax bill, correct?
And that, again, is depending on whether it's a district. If it's a district, it would be according on the property tax bill. And if it were done through a 218 portion, the actual amount per parcel could differ depending on the use of that parcel. That's the difference there.
Okay. Well, it's too bad we didn't have that information, you know, more of an example, because it's really difficult to make this choice.
That if we were going to have direction from the boards and councils to move forward with this, we would have to hire an engineer to make that assessment as to what the weight would be per parcel throughout the jurisdiction. So that's more money that we would have to spend in order to do that.
So you're asking us to make a decision without any information?
A decision whether or not to move forward with it, yes. To come up and spend, we've spent $30,000 to this point with consulting and with polling. And to move further in the process, I mean, we can certainly do that with direction, but we may get to that point. We may spend $100,000 and get to that point, and you may decide, no, we're not going to support this. And like I said, in taking it to Arroyo Grande, they were not going to support that at this time.
Oh, either assessment or district?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Well, to my right, no questions? Karen?
I do now. As a point of clarification again, please. So, and I don't know if this would be to you, Chief, or to our city manager, but so the city contributes $1.2 million. Then the assessment on top of that, so the city would still be obligated to $1.2 million, and then the assessment on top of that?
Not necessarily. And again, that's where I'm saying that, especially with the special benefit assessment, you could offset some of those general fund contributions.
Okay, and that's what I was thinking. Okay, so I just want to make sure that I wasn't going off on another tangent. Okay, and then another question. I don't know if this is even relevant, but the cost that would be borne by the city to do the studies and the so on, would they ever be recouped, or would that just be like an investment in the
Just out of curiosity, let's say there's an accident and somebody calls, and because I've seen San Luis Ambulance, I've seen police, and I've seen fire, who do the paramedics belong to?
It depends on which fire agency is there. If the Five Cities Fire Authority is there, the paramedics belong to the ambulance company. There are other fire departments in the county that do provide a first responder ALS service, or they have paramedics on engine companies. I believe San Luis City, San Luis Obispo City, Los Osos. I believe Cal Fire has one or two paramedic engines. Cambria is an ambulance district, I'm sorry, and Morro Bay.
Okay, so the San Luis, they're a private company?
Yes.
Okay, and then how do they get paid?
Transport fees.
All right, thank you.
So, Chief, before you go, mm-hmm. I just got to make sure I understood you correctly, that the city of Arroyo Grande has considered this, and they have said they don't believe it is a good time to move forward, or they're not interested in supporting that.
This is not a good time to move forward.
Okay.
Do we have to?
I just want to make sure I understood that. So, and thank you. So I'm going to open this up to the public, but I do want to say that Councilmember Wright, your questions are right on the money. It's right on the issue that we need to be discussing and the opportunity that to me is out there. But that said, now that I understand where the City of Aurora Grande City Council has come from, it does kind of put a damp cloth on what has been discussed at the Five Cities Fire Authority. So with that, I'm going to open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to address the item before the council? Okay. Seeing none, let me bring it back. So the item really before us is that when we went down this path, the idea was to receive a recommendation or input from the two city councils and the community service district, and that would come back to the Five Cities Oversight Committee, and then a decision would be made of whether to pursue a benefit assessment or a special district or to do it in a series of phases, because I think, as the chief said at the last meeting, that the two are not mutually exclusive, and you could do a benefit assessment and then ultimately become a district. So I think there are some opportunities there. So we have to talk, and I want to go back to the comments that Karen, you had talked about, is, and I think Bob was saying this, but he was very delicate about how he said it. What we've talked about on the board and the subcommittee is, in order to get the two cities and the county, I don't know if it's county or Oceano Community Services District, to even consider this, is what's in it for us? What is the benefit to the cities? And I think the most obvious benefit is that there would be an opportunity to provide some relief to the general fund, because the city manager had talked about you could apply it to existing services. So if there was a negotiation and that $1.2 million went down to, let's say, $1 million, then if they were successful in getting a measure, they could do that, sustain existing fire services, and then provide a platform for building and getting future equipment. That, and I may be oversimplifying it, but in a nutshell, is really the opportunity cost for the city of Grover Beach, and it would have been for the city of Aurora Grande. I'm not quite sure if they even had that discussion. So I think for us tonight is to focus on what is being asked of us, to give some recommendations to the Five Cities Fire Authority Board. And I don't think we're really being asked to make a final decision on a district, because we don't have all the information. But if we, say, move forward with exploring the benefit assessment, then you would obviously hire an engineer who would then come back with all of that detailed information that I think you're looking for, Phyllis. So I know it's tough right now.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the money. I'm actually looking at the cost. And like I said, the way it was written, it didn't clarify it enough for me.
Yeah, no.
Because we're talking about, if we're going to, an assessment, we're talking about people having to put out more money, okay? And that is my biggest concern, is that thoroughly explained.
Understood. And I think this is always the issue when someone does polling and then it takes so long to get before decision makers are asked a question, because what did the polling say initially, Chief?
The basic question on the polling was, would you be willing to support a benefit assessment for the fire authority in what amount? And they started, I believe, at $99 per parcel and moved down to, I believe, $66. At $99 a parcel, it was 55% of the people would be in favor of that at 60, what that would be. So I believe the benefit assessments that I've been familiar with, that property owner knows exactly what they will pay the first year through the end of that benefit assessment.
And then that money, would that cover our complete, debt or our requirement for the Five Cities Fire? Or the city will still be paying a portion of money out? I'm trying to understand this completely.
Yeah. At this point, the way it was put forward was to increase staffing in order to meet 1720 requirements and the two in and two out requirements, as well as capital replacement fund. So if we were going to use that money to offset what Grover or Oceano or AG is going to provide to the authority, then that would have to be spelled out to the voters also.
Mr. Mayor, that's correct. That's part of what the engineer's report would ultimately determine. And I guess that's why the request right now is simply to move forward. It is so that you would get to the point where you have the engineer's report done. And, yes, there is a cost with that. But then you would know how much would be attributable back to your general fund. It wouldn't eliminate your general fund contribution, but it would reduce it. And the mayor has indicated the reduction. It is likely with the a tough budget situation we're looking at that without finding some kind of independent source, you know, I would most likely be recommending to the council that they consider reducing our contribution by about 10%. So that's roughly what I would be looking at without some other revenue source.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question, John.
You have the floor.
On one of your comments, you mentioned that it might be an option to go forward with the adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment. If we as a city chose to do that and said, go ahead and do the study, does that then mean the burden of paying for all of that is on us?
Well, it's sort of like the chief said, if we're not going to go forward with all three agencies behind this, then it's really going to be a waste of time and effort. And that's why it is so disappointing to hear what our counterparts in the Royal Grande have said. Now, I don't know how it was phrased to them, because here's to hire a benefit assessment engineer, let's say it costs $60,000. Let's say, for simple math, that you divided it three ways and each community spent $20,000. It's certainly an investment in getting a measure approved. And the polling initially showed that there is support from the community. We did that when we moved forward with the general sales tax in 2006, I believe. So it's an investment if you believe it's going to be successful. So the simple thing is, for a $20,000 to $30,000 investment and the potential to be able to relieve the general fund of $200,000, is there value to doing that? That's kind of the simplified way that I look at this, and I hope that that's how it was presented to our counterparts. But I'm just going to say this because it's me, and I've been doing this for almost 10 years, and people who know me. Clearly, Aurora Grande has got a bond issue they're going to put out for a new police station and a few other things, and I'm sure that had a lot to do with their decision on this at this time. And it's really, you know, it's their prerogative, but it really kind of throws a wrench in the whole planning that's going forward. So I think tonight we have to just make a decision and make a recommendation, and the Five Cities Fire Authority may just say, we have support from Grover, but not AG and Arroyo, and it's really not worth going forward on this. And that's as straight a talk as I can give you. That's not political speak. That's straight talk.
Okay. Well, my take on all of that would be that I would at least advocate going forward for the adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment, because after that, should we need to go further, we can do that. It may not be a good time politically to have to take it out to the voters, because I think they're going to be getting a lot. So I understand that, but I would certainly advocate for our general fund and for the city of Grover Beach to say that we support the adoption of a fire suppression benefit assessment, at least.
Was that a motion?
Yeah.
Or a statement?
I move.
Well,
I'll second that.
I still like to make it. So it still goes to the property owners, so I would be in support of that.
Okay. So, Debbie, you made a motion. Someone want to second her motion?
I did.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion?
So we're not going to even consider looking at a district then. It isn't...
I think according to her motion is to do an incremental step of looking at a fire suppression benefit assessment district because it doesn't rule out eventually going to a special district. And I think the chief mentioned this earlier in the last meeting when he had said he would support taking that incremental step, because with a special district, you do have a loss of control because it's a special district and you have folks who are, it's a separate board that's elected and they don't necessarily always align with the city council. So it's a young agency trying to grow and there's some growing pains. And it, I think if I'm capturing your testimony previously correctly, your recommendation would be to move forward with the benefit assessment and give it some time and then come back and talk about a special district.
And my thinking on making that motion was that if we can get them to see, if we can take baby steps perhaps with the other agencies and say we advocate for this and we ask that you reconsider your position, that we may have a better opportunity of getting consensus than if we go for the full, the both just now.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. I think we have had some discussion on that. And at this point, there's not a resolution in front of us, so we can do this as a voice vote.
Yes, you can.
So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Very good. I did want to applaud my colleagues for staying focused and doing the business at hand. I'm really proud of you all. With that, let's take a 10-minute break. Let's reconvene at 8:11. We'll get through it. I'm going to reconvene the regular city, Grover Beach City Council meeting for Tuesday, February 21st, 2012. And when we left off, we had just concluded item number 6. So let's go into item number 7, and this is a report regarding consolidation of dispatch services and consolidation of law enforcement. Police Chief Copsey.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'd like to start by switching gears a little and try to explain how we might be able to positively impact the community and how we might serve our community better and help the fire authority with their dispatch. So hopefully I'll be able to clear up a few things that we've talked about in the past and then some new items with the total law enforcement consolidation, as well as something the first time you've seen tonight is a county a preliminary proposal that they've given. I'm going to start off first with some dispatch concepts, and then I'll move into the law enforcement aspect of things. We've talked about in the past about fire dispatch only from either Grover Beach or Royal Grande. That's met with some difficulties funding, because as we look at that and the staffing needs to have at one agency, we would have to increase staffing or reduce services, and it would not necessarily meet the desires or needs of the fire authority. It would not improve services necessarily, but it would accomplish having the fire dispatch at one location. But still, we would have some communication issues between cities, as one city, whoever was not providing the dispatch, would not be able to understand or know what was going on with the fire department. The expected fiscal impact with just fire-only dispatch to the city of Grover Beach would be about $60,000 in the negative, as we would not only lose our, if it was here, we would still cost us money because we would try to meet the needs of better staffing. We'd probably increase staffing by one, as well as if it was at a Royal Grande, it would be the same, basically the same impact, fiscal impact to Grover Beach. The second concept we looked at was consolidated dispatch at Grover Beach. Although we have an excellent dispatch center, it's a little bit larger in size as far as the square footage. We have excellent staffed for our community, and provide an excellent service, from one employee to the other, are considerably different if we were to have a consolidated dispatch at Irwinnie versus at Grover Beach. At Grover Beach, I don't have a cost allocation because it just was not feasible at the time when we looked at it for us to make that transition for Royal Granite to come here at Grover Beach. We did, however, move into looking at what the cost would be if we were to make the joint consolidation at Royal Grande. That concept does meet, we think, the priorities of the City Council and the Fire Authority, as it would be a consolidated dispatch. The cost estimate provided to us is about $607,000 and some change. Based on existing budget expenditures that we're expending now, it was predicted that we would have an annual negative impact to Grover Beach of about $42,000. That may be a little less, may be mitigated a little bit. If we were to move forward with something, we might be able to find some further adjustments so that it's not quite as a negative impact. Part of that reason is there's an $18,000 Oceana contract that the revenues would be gone. They would now be transferred over. You know, some of the salaries and benefits and some of the other impacts. As I mentioned, we might be able to reduce that impact, but we feel that there will be a slight negative impact there. Should the council authorize down the road to proceeding with that option, it's possible that we could, the idea was we would do our best to try and make that a cost-neutral proposal or a cost-neutral concept impact. The fourth one, or the one that was brought up at the last council meeting, was to look at what the sheriff's office can provide for consolidated dispatch. We found out it does prove to be somewhat difficult in the fact that the sheriff's office does not currently provide fire dispatch. They only provide law enforcement dispatch. So it doesn't really meet, we felt it doesn't really meet the needs of the priorities of the council or the fire authority. As you see, you were provided their preliminary proposal from the county, and that they have a CAL FIRE aspect in there. Mm. They would basically be subcontracting dispatch services to CAL FIRE we can ask them to provide that, I guess, for Grover Beach. It would still, you know, if we were to move forward with something in that fashion, the fire authority would definitely need to be brought into the mix, and whether or not the fire authority really wanted to have their dispatch, at least part of their dispatch, provided by CAL FIRE. That does not meet the priorities in the fact that dispatch would still be handled by two separate agencies unless the fire authority moved totally into a CAL FIRE model. But fire dispatch would still be dispatched by a Royal Grande dispatch. If we were to contract or to go out to the county in some fashion, then they would still be dispatched by CAL FIRE, law enforcement by county, fire authority by Royal Grande. We would actually add further mixtures, you know, further dispatch aspect into the mix, which is not really moving in the right direction, the staff has felt. We actually had some concerns as well with the proposal and the fact that they provided cost estimates for three dispatchers. We currently provide six. We're concerned whether that actually meets the needs of the community in providing a service level that we desire. That's obviously the reason it's preliminary, is if council wanted to move in that direction, we would have to get into further negotiations if that's really what we want or if we need to add additional dispatchers. And, of course, that would come with a different cost. That also they would only be providing police calls for service. Our dispatchers provide many other functions to our community regarding business calls and other assistance on the weekends, as well as all of the records work that they do would not be handled by the county dispatch. Staff looked at the workload that the dispatchers handle currently with records, and we felt that we would need to add back the frozen records position that we eliminated a year and a half ago through the retirement of a personnel, which adds to the cost. So basically, there would be, if we took this preliminary proposal on face value, the city could save some money, but we're not sure it would be the best without further exploring it for the fire authority. They would have to get involved in the process, and it may change the dollars and savings on that. So with the dispatch, and concluding on the dispatch options, at this point, staff's opinion that that Grover Beach should defer taking action, as the options right now for a joint dispatch do not fiscally benefit us. And with our bleak outlook right now in our budget, it's hard to recommend spending more money, although it would improve services if we were at the city of Royal Grande. So staff recommends at this point at least to listen to the rest of this presentation and then give us some. So that's something that we were really interested in, is what kind of impact does it have on the cities and the communities, as well as financial, although financial, in my opinion, is not necessarily the number one key. It's just an added benefit as we realize this. As a result of these discussions, the Royal Grande staff, a direction from their council, provided us a cost estimate for joint service agreement for the city of Royal Grande and what it would cost the city of Grover Beach if we combined those forces. And it's a pretty close estimate, but they gave us a cost estimate of $3,160,676. Today, with the concessions and vacancies that we have in the police department, our costs are predicted for FY13 are going to be $3,670,534. That's with a fully funded budget, with no concessions from the employees. What we should be budgeting for our authorized staff of 19 for this community that we serve. So using the fully budgeted amount, if we're to join forces with the Royal Grande, we would be realizing an overall funding savings of $457,000, which is a considerable amount considering we would be providing an increased service to the community with our police departments. In doing this, we also are combining the dispatch centers. So we meet both goals. We combine the center, we have a joint dispatch, and that meets the needs of the fire authority. Projections were made from Royal Grande for a five-year agreement. And obviously, we didn't go beyond that because nobody knows what would happen after 5 years. But we made a five-year projection. And using a fully funded police department, our projected savings actually increase at the end of the 5 years to almost $500,000. So it actually goes up based on our savings and my projected savings of what our police department would be in 5 years, and that's kind of, I took the same percentages that we used, so it was like dollars. The difficult thing, however, is our police department is currently operating with two vacant positions, sworn officer positions, and we have agreed, the employees have agreed to quite a number of concessions, pay cuts, including furloughs. The actual savings, if we realize in the first, if we assume that we would continue with vacant positions and getting by, if we assume that our employees agreed, they haven't gone to negotiations, agreed to future concessions, and our FY13 budget is similar to what we've budgeted now with the predictions, although not the budget's not approved or even viewed from council, the actual savings is expected to be only about $73,000 because we're already considerably making concessions and savings. Now, the problem with that is, I should note that these concessions may not be sustainable over a long period of time. And I will mention that our staff, in the police department and our community, we're doing an outstanding job, I believe, in keeping our crime down and keeping things happen. But it's coming at a cost not only to the employees, but there are so many things that we could be doing better if we were fully staffed. We don't have a traffic program anymore because of the vacancies, and we don't have some of the other things that we could be doing. But we are getting by, and we're providing an adequate police service. At the end of 5 years, if we maintain, and this is a huge assumption, it's actually kind of a discouraging and disappointing assumption, if we were in the same economic status 5 years from now, we would still be saving about $83,000. So again, it doesn't cost us any money to move forward with this plan, and there would be an expected savings. I'd like to talk about some of the benefits that we would receive or that we expect to receive with a joint service. And the plan is basically, as we looked at the model of just taking the two police departments and combining together one department that has just that many more personnel to serve an area rather than just each specific city, we would serve an area combined of both Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. The boundary lines, basically a boundary line drop, similar to the fire department, they would serve. There would no be jurisdictional issues. So some of the positives that we looked at would be a five-year costing projection. It provides for fiscally predictable law enforcement services that helps the organization address some of the fiscal realities while maintaining effective law enforcement for both of our communities. The agreement for the services is of course yet to be determined, as we have not got that for that direction by council. But those agreements hopefully would outline the specific services that we want. As it does that, that leaves one officer on the street. So when we have emergency calls or calls for service, we're unable to respond to those, or they just have to wait. Quite frequently, when one officer is on the street, we're not left alone, because we have adjoining agencies that we call from, typically Arroyo Grande or the Sheriff's Department. We've called on CHP or Pismo Beach. But typically they're not going to, we don't call on them to respond to day-to-day operations, patrol, low-priority calls. They only call, they would come when we ask for a priority one call. So we will have, we still, and we currently operate that. So we're not left alone, but we do have access, but it's not something that we prefer. Most of the time we're operating with three personnel, but we don't feel we're at our minimum staffing is two, and so we don't fill that third position, say somebody when somebody goes for training or somebody is on vacation or sick or something like that. For example, last week our day shift worked with two people all week because somebody was at training all week. So it's just something so that when you have a larger department size to draw from, staffing, vacancies, it's much easier to fill those positions and keep staffing. How part of the reason how we do that is the concept is that there would be increase in stable workforce with minimum available staffing. The minimum staffing, instead of two, it would be a minimum staffing of 5 to 6 patrol officers for the area. So when somebody leaves to go to take somebody to jail, for example, we still have 5 or 6 people to work with. We're not left kind of hanging out to dry. That doesn't include there's an additional motor officer that's working during the day or when their schedule works, or a different additional canine officer. So potentially 8 patrol officers to serve the area that we're working with. And this is also a benefit to Arroyo Grande. So you say, what's in it for Arroyo Grande? All these benefits also apply to their city as well. So it's kind of a joint benefit. The additional benefit, we've had is increased detectives. For example, I'll just give you a recent case. We caught through the help of off-duty sheriff's deputy, caught a burglar. That case involved multiple cases from Arroyo Grande, multiple cases from Grover Beach with vehicle burglaries. We were able to accomplish the task in putting those cases together, but if it was one area, it's so much easier than jurisdictionally trying to separate some of the cases. There are two cases and different things. So that's just one example. There's many others in working together. It meets the needs of the dispatch, because it would be a consolidated dispatch, 2 dispatchers 24/7, meeting the needs of fire train dispatching, as well as handling the increased workload with fire that we need. It went from one location. Some of the other increases in service would be reduced services, reduced administrative tasks for the city, reduced work associated with budget preparation for the city, for our city. Reduced some of the workers' compensation administration, labor relations. It reduces something to note, could reduce some of our workers' comp liabilities for the city in the long run that may not be necessarily identified in an initial budget, annual budget savings. There could reduce liabilities in the future, which is not recognized in our annual savings. And, you know, something that's not necessarily a fiscally issue, but it does provide further career enhancements for the personnel that stay on board. There's more opportunities for job assignments that we don't have now, and that type of thing. I want to mention some of the service, some of the agreement concepts, or some that might raise some concerns, because there are concerns anytime you share resources. Some of those are the need to establish in the agreement a formula to limit future increased costs, such as after the 5 years. How do we do that? And that might be something that we need to look at, how we control that, or how we might be able to control that. That could be placed in the agreement language, should the proposal be considered. We need to establish language in the agreement, from my point of view, that ensures that as we share these resources, that Grover Beach doesn't get forgot, that we don't neglect the needs of the community. That can be addressed in the agreement. So it's not something that we're actually ignoring or giving something up. We can put things in there that make sure that possibly there's a liaison that's definitely assigned for the city, similar to what we have from the fire authority, that meets the needs of management, that meets the needs of budgeting for future budgeting, and meets the needs of community address needs or day-to-day operations of the police department. And there's also an additional need for negotiations with the police officer associations if this was to move forward. In conclusion, it's important to note for the city council to recognize that the current staffing levels at the Grover Beach Police Department is a critical level. I mean, we're operating with 17 sworn. We're getting the job done like that. So we're getting the job done, but these, like I mentioned, these shortages and concessions may not be sustainable, where you don't really have that issue with a larger department. City council has been presented with many options with dispatch to our community, well as potential opportunities for total law enforcement with the Royal Grandy. I've covered some specific budgetary costs and impacts associated with those options, and I'm requesting the City Council to consider these options and provide a real clear direction for me and staff to work with. Should the Council wish to further consider consolidation law enforcement services with the City of Royal Grandy, it's critical that we look at that seriously tonight. We have, just so you know, you've already authorized a number of purchases and equipment enhancements to our organization that we're ready to move forward with, but we've put them on hold pending this outcome, because it will change. If we're going to move forward with a joint opportunity, I didn't feel it was necessarily prudent to spend that money if we're going to move forward in that direction. But if we're not, then I'd like to move forward and spend what's already been approved for grant funds and enhancements to our dispatch to provide a better service to our community. So I've kind of delayed in ordering some of this stuff until after, hopefully, tonight. So I'm really asking Council to consider this and consider a decision in what direction you really want to move for our community, not only with total law enforcement, but if we wanted to move forward in one of the dispatch concepts. And I'll be happy to answer any questions at this point.
So, Chief, what's your recommendation?
Well, it depends. For dispatch, my recommendation is to stay as we are. For consolidation, I'm kind of torn because we've talked about this. I was talking to Bob earlier. It impacts me personally, because one of the aspects for total consolidation is reduced management. And what do we do with the two chiefs? I'm nearing retirement, so more than likely I would be willing to step down and retire earlier than planned. But that's something that, again, that's something that has to be worked out between management and the city councils. So with that aside, I think that total consolidation makes a lot of sense. It's a tough decision for council, but I think with the increased services that we can provide to our community, with the enhanced law enforcement officers that we're able to provide, we definitely will not be reducing anything, but it keeps a sustainable law enforcement for the area. And it does, even at the with our with our concessions that we're already making, we still will realize a savings of at least $70,000, $73,000. Now, that could be enhanced if we look at some of the other stuff, but I think it's a good idea.
I got all that. I was just asking that because your staff report points to your that recommendation. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to be clear.
All right.
What you were recommending, because what the staff report says is differently than what you just presented.
It is really a council decision, because it is a big step in moving towards sharing the resources.
Very good. So let's see who's got questions of Chief Copsey. Bill, do you want to start? Do you have any questions?
No, not at this time.
Karen, you have any questions?
Well, I guess my biggest question, I should say, is one that I've heard from other Grover Beach residents. Would we truly be consolidating, or would we be contracting? To me, I think that there's a significant difference in just the perception of the service that you're going to receive.
Absolutely, and I think there's a lot of confusion with the word contract, and it's come up before. You know how we've been presented an option to contract with the Royal Grandee. In essence, it's a contract with the Royal Grandee, but how it's drawn up, and it's an agreement to provide joint law enforcement services. You can call it a contract, you can call it a joint agreement, you can call it whatever you want. It's really a combination of the two police departments working together to provide the services. How that's written in a language is really how the councils will come up with how those services will be provided. This model that we're looking at, you know, is we would be, the departments would be funded under the Royal Grandee, City of Royal Grandee, and the City of Grover Beach would be paying into those services. You know, whether you want to call it a contract, it is a contract.
Yes,
but so
it would
is,
be to me.
You know, in listening to the fire authority earlier, that's a contract. We have a contract to provide services and funding to the fire authority. So it really is it really kind of depends on the term contract and what you mean with it. I don't look at it, you know, some people do look at that from a negative point of view. I don't.
Okay, so it would be the Arroyo Grande Police Department. All of the folks that came from Grover Beach contracting, we're talking about a consolidation of two forces.
Correct.
To service two cities.
Correct.
Okay. And I had one last question. regarding the dispatch portion of this, the business calls, the records, et cetera, that sort of thing, if there was a consolidation with AG, and that's just on the dispatch piece.
Yes.
Would that be part of
yes,
the services
the,
that would
the,
be rendered?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Those services would be continued. The input of tickets, all of the records duties would be carried with the current dispatchers that go. The dispatch agency. So we
very
would.
Good.
The plan is not to have to incur any additional record staff.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. That's for me. Thank you.
Great. Debbie?
I have two questions. Have you, in working out the cost of this, have you looked at what would happen then? Would that mean we wouldn't have your police department here, or would you still have an office here and an office in AG, or are you thinking about consolidating? Has that come up?
It's kind of come up. Those details, as I mentioned, are something that still needs to be worked out if the council wants to move in this direction. We could have a substation here. Mm-hmm. What we've talked about is not. What we've talked about is we would be operated from one. I mean, we're not that big of an area. I mean, Monterey, for example, where I came from, was just slightly bigger. If we had one police, we didn't have substations. I mean, it's not something that's unusual for this size of an area. You look in larger metropolitan areas. So the size of it is not something that we were concerned with. It's easier to operate from one's facility. Mm-hmm. But that's something, again, that can be discussed through the process if it moves forward.
And I wanted to clarify also, initially when you were talking, I thought that where we were going, or where what you may have been recommending was consolidating dispatch and the police departments. But then when the mayor asked the question, it sounded as if maybe that's not where you were going with that. So could you clarify again what your thought was on that?
Basically, the way I left the staff report is it's kind of up to the council's decision whether or not they want to move forward with, you know, sharing the resources and a consolidation of the police forces. If we move to a total consolidation, it includes dispatch.
Okay, thank you.
My recommendation is I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
But it's really up to you guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Phyllis?
Yes, thank you. Okay. A couple of questions. You know, we have a police volunteer program. Would that be kept in place?
Well, yes, it would. And currently our volunteer programs are quasi-shared already. We already have a joint volunteer program.
Okay. And then what about our current police staff? Is it an automatic thing that they would be taken in? Would it be a review? I mean, that would be something that would be of concern.
It is definitely a concern. That's something that when I mentioned the associations would have to meet and confer, and we would have to meet as cities on that. What we've talked about is just molding the two police departments, less some administrative staff through retirements, and maybe other staff if there were retirements. That all has to be worked out. But the numbers equals to all. The plan was you know, to all staff that's not retiring or moving, you know, will have jobs. But as far as the logistics, we have not discussed or worked that out through the associations or the cities.
Okay, because I would hate to think a movement would cause someone to lose a job. Let's see. You know, currently right now, whenever there's been police involvement, we always get an email or something informing us as to what's going on. I hope that that will continue with the current
Absolutely.
Idea.
And that would be one of the reasons for a liaison. The continued communication is vital to not only councils, but the city management as well.
Okay. And then I guess parking enforcement is not part of the law enforcement.
It is.
It is. We would then have the benefit of that since we don't really have it now.
Well,
because we don't have enough staff.
Absolutely, we could. I mean, the parking enforcement, we haven't gotten to the specific details. The enforcement of parking, abandoned vehicles, what we do now from our law enforcement agent is all wrapped around, the idea is wrapped around within those costs.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That's it.
Okay. Don't leave yet. I have questions. So Karen had started asking, are we consolidating our contract in Rio Grande? Would the employees be Grover Beach employees or Aurora Grande employees?
Under this model here that's presented with a cost estimate, it would be Aurora Grande employees.
Okay. Has the Aurora Grande City Council weighed in? Because what you're telling us is that it wouldn't be the Aurora Grande Police Department. It would have some different name. So I want to know, have they weighed in on that? Because we saw tonight, and I'm going to go into that a little bit more.
Right.
So have they considered this item?
What has been asked from the Royal Grant, from my knowledge, and the chief might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, what's been asked, the Royal Grant City Council asked their staff.
And so I'm curious. Well, I'm not curious. I understand what our counterparts have decided, and I've already expressed my issues with that. Let me ask you about timelines, because I know you talked about the council had approved some equipment upgrades and that you had decided not to move forward because you wanted to have some sort of direction on this. Is there a timeline that we have to use those funds?
There is a timeline on some of the funds have to be spent by the end of June. Some of the funds don't have to be spent all that quick. There's timelines with with spending the funds, for example, we are on schedule to replace our records management system in April. The company that's doing that is doing all of the agencies. They're doing a Rio Grande just before us and the week before us scheduled. If we delay that, we'll incur, I think I was told, it was about an $8,000 cost if we do it 6 months from now. Not significant, but we're still on time to do that, but there is some costs to improving those. There's also some enhancements that we need to do with our CAD system. We have, through a grant, received funding for mobile computers. In order to get those working, we need to have our records management system up and functioning. We need our CAD system replaced. That's part of the process that we can't do one without the other. We've purchased the mobile computers from a grant. Mm-hmm. If we don't move forward, they're just sitting there, not being used. So part of it is a cost. If we don't, there will be some minimal future costs. If we don't, we're just sitting on a bunch of money that we would like to spend.
Okay. So then you had we have a letter from the sheriff, which looks like it's a concept. You didn't really talk a lot about it. I had almost at one point thought you may have been a little dismissive of the letter. So I'm just kind of curious because You're saying that the sheriff has written a letter saying he could provide dispatch services with three dispatchers rather than six, and so you question whether that can be done effectively and not have a reduction in services? Is that
What I said was that the sheriff's proposal is a preliminary proposal which deals with both the fire dispatching and police dispatching. Because of the timeliness of getting this forward, that we did not get real specific regarding what type of services. You know, you can see from the the proposal that you have before you from the sheriff's department, it's not real specific on what type of services. I can tell you verbally that they don't do a lot of the calls that we handle currently, so there's a workload access. They will not be doing records that we currently do. Coming from what I see before me, we have not really gotten into the details regarding the proposal, mainly because of the fire aspect of it. The fire aspect is something that I think the fire authority and council can direct in this, that needs to be involved in whether their dispatch moves from Gover Beach to Cal Fire, and whether or not that's something that they want. So the proposal is really something that if it's council's direction to move to clarify that or to move forward with just that aspect because of the money savings, or to move forward with looking at opportunities with the county, then I think we really need to get the fire authority involved in whether that's something that they want to do with dispatch. I've got some concerns because I don't have enough information on the service levels and what they can provide. I don't know their current staffing levels and what, they don't, designate one dispatcher to Grover Beach or not. I don't know. It doesn't specify.
Gotcha. Because when I look at this, I know it took me a while, and it takes a lot of folks a while to realize the Five Cities Fire is its own entity, and they could choose to have Aurora Grande dispatch fire rather than Cal Fire, correct?
Yes, correct.
Which could be a lesser number than what he's shown you with Cal Fire, potentially.
Could be.
Okay. I think those are all my questions. Thank you, Chief. So let me open this. I'm going to open this up to the public. I know there are a lot of interested folks in the audience, and I'm sure watching. So I have a speakership from Juan Leon, but Juan, what I'd like to do is have Chief Anibali come up first. And Chief, were you going to make a presentation, or are you here to answer questions?
I wasn't planning to, but I'd be happy.
Please come forward. So my question is, has this officially gone before the Aurora Grande City Council?
If most of the time elected officials like to see what's the dollars, should we move ahead to at least look at this? But Chief Copsey was right. We're at the early stages. There's a lot of discussions. And what we're looking for is just simply the opportunity to sit down with both departments and start talking about some of those details.
And so then there's no discussion about naming, because I think Chief went
no naming rights yet.
Okay, we'll consider that discussion. We'll continue that discussion another time. So, anyone have any questions of Chief Anibali?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So then, in your prior experience with this type of situation, has it been a positive?
Very positive. I'm a big proponent of consolidated services. And I think Chief Copsey mentioned it, and I'll just reiterate it again. Currently, both of our cities neighbor each other, and on a regular basis, due to employee staffing and fiscal needs, we're always operating at minimum staffing. We all know that. When you consolidate these departments, you quite frankly eliminate a lot of the extra personnel and the management levels, and then also you reduce some costs as far as facilities and equipment and duplications that occur there. Line level, though, actually increases, so you have this economy of scale, and so as Chief Copsey mentioned, that came from our cost estimate, we would realize staffing on the street of 5 to 6 officers at a minimum, and also be able to share in things like canine units, also traffic units, all those things as a combined department. Now what happens, similar to what Chief Copsey describes, we assist each other on priority calls, but regular everyday service calls go unanswered if we're not able to do that. And that could be either city. And so a citizen that calls in, if it's not a priority call and a Grover Beach officer is at the jail, that call is going to wait. in this kind of a program, there's five or six or more officers that can respond to that call and answer it. So there is an increase in service levels, and I've experienced it.
Thank you.
Any questions to my left?
I have a question, a couple,
okay.
Actually.
Sure.
With your experience with this type of consolidation, basically the city who consolidates with, such as Grover Beach with Rio Grande, what type of representation does the city, such as Grover Beach, would have with Rio Grande in terms of representation and, like, if there's problems, mm-hmm. you know, would our city manager be involved? Would our mayor, would there be other council members involved if there's something that we are not happy with?
Well, there's a couple things on that. First, again, my experience has been that we take, what you do is you take the jurisdiction. If you take the two cities and you look at a map and you, in a sense, erase those inner lines but just make us one police jurisdiction, then we divide that jurisdiction up between the number of officers working. So when we say, what is Grover Beach going to get and Rio Grande is going to get, it's a joint, now a joint agency or a joint jurisdiction. As far as response from either city, as you're talking about, is there's a couple of different ways, and we're early in the stage, and those are the things we'd want to work out. First and foremost, if I was so lucky to be the chief, I would say that I would be your police chief just as I would be a Rio Grande's police chief, just as the fire chief is for the other communities. So you have those same representation at council meetings, at other meetings, working with the manager of this city, working with the manager of a Rio Grande. So you have to work with both cities. Other places I've worked in the past have actually established committees or a public safety committee or some kind of committee like that deals more specifically with the police department, so that there's representations of both cities on that committee. It can work either way. There's a lot of models that you can follow. It's been done in a variety of places throughout the country.
Okay. Then have you ever seen in the past where such as this contracting eventually led to real consolidation as opposed to every 5 years renewing the contracting?
Well, I kind of see that as both. It's real consolidation. All it is what the payment plan is, basically. And what we're talking about is a 5-year model that allows you to have predictable law enforcement costs or budgets. It's, as I'm sure you all know, it's very valuable for you to sit down and know exactly what your law enforcement services are going to be this year, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, and that's why these plans or these proposals are pretty popular as far as going down that road. There are some exceptions in the contract for emergencies and things that we don't have control over, but most of the contracts or agreements or joint agreements have the ability for you to have this payment plan. So it is a true consolidation. I don't see the difference between the two. Both cities pay into police services, in other words.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Bill?
Would not the cost to the communities, both AG and Grover Beach, be based on population?
No, they're not based on population. What they're based on is other costs throughout the estimate, the 30% figure.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief.
Great. Thank you.
So, Juan Leon.
Good evening, Mayor Schulz and City Council. My name is Juan Leon, and I'm the president of the Grover Beach Police Officers Association. I'm here tonight on behalf of the POA to express our support in moving forward to engage the City of Rio Grande in developing the proposal for the total consolidation of police and dispatch services between the two cities. The POA is confident total consolidation has many benefits to both communities and their police departments, therefore is worthy of further consideration by the council. We believe total consolidation will enhance services to both communities in many ways, resulting in greater protection and service across both jurisdictions. Services would be enhanced by, among other things, seamless combination of information and expertise would more effectively enable police to combat and deter the criminal element that operates in both communities. There would be immediate coordinated response to criminal acts and disasters. It would create the operation of dedicated specialized positions to combat the criminal activity, and there would be a dedicated traffic enforcement unit, which Grover Beach cannot fund at this time. These specialized positions will improve the safety of our citizens and provide both cities with better opportunities for grant funding. There would be greater safety of officers in searching for dangerous criminals. Also, there would be multiple dispatchers working during major emergencies, which would increase the safety of officers and the fire personnel. With multiple dispatchers working, calls can be answered quicker. Dispatchers can devote more time to the callers, and dispatch resources faster to the community, and it also increases the public safety. As one large department, additional benefits could be realized, such as more opportunities for career enhancements and training, and this attracts higher quality applicants, better employee retention, preserving the expertise and local knowledge of veteran officers and dispatchers and the records personnel. And the cost saving makes both cities more fiscally stable. In closing, I'd like to state the officers, dispatchers, and records employees that make up the Grover Beach Police Department Association. We take great pride in providing the highest level of professional service to our citizens. However, the economic realities resulting in reduced police department operating budget and employee concessions over the last 2 years has negatively impacted police services to our community and employee morale. The existing deficit promises even more negative impacts that could degrade the services and further erode the morale of the department. These negative impacts could be offset by the benefits of the consolidation between both cities. The Grover Beach Police Officers Association asks you to take a proactive stance in moving forward towards a total police and dispatch consolidation. And thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Juan. Is there anyone else that would like to address the item before the City Council this evening? Seeing that, I'm going to bring it back to the Council. So let's have some discussion. Who would you like to start, Karen?
Sure, I'll start. I truly believe that it could be this could be a wave of the future for us. If we're talking about a true consolidation, I would certainly be very supportive of going forward with a proposal like this. Not only would it serve the purpose of greater safety to our community, but also it would be a cost savings, which is something we can't just dismiss. So I would certainly support a greater deeper look at this and see where we go with Arroyo Grande and how we can come to a meeting of the minds.
Okay, very good. Bill?
I agree with her comments thus far. I haven't heard a negative comment all evening concerning this issue. Not a single one. That amazes me.
Should we put in place things that we will be able to come forward if we have a problem, that we're not just going to be employees, and that we work together as a team?
Okay. Well, let me just say that clearly consolidation of services and trying to combine resources is a positive thing to do. But I want to make sure that if we're going down this road, that, as you say, we protect ourselves, but we get some clear direction from where the Arroyo Grande City Council is going with this, because my let's just say, based on previous events, I'm not very confident at this point that we're talking about true consolidation. You can use semantics all you want. The fact of the matter is, if you're contracting services, you're contracting services. And if we're going to contract services, why wouldn't we want to pursue the sheriff's proposal and see what benefits that has? You know, because, yeah, we're going to enhance services, but we're talking about, what, $73,000 in savings? What percentage is that of the current budget, Bob? Do you know?
It probably 73,000 is close to 1%. 10% general fund budget right now is slightly over 7 million.
Okay, so there's an organization that was created out there, this mythological organization that was created out there that we haven't even seen what it looks like. So I would say if we're going to go forward with this proposal, let's see what that looks like. Let's see if it makes sense. I'm going to say I'm troubled because the chief has said that the men and women who serve this city have done a great job, and I agree with that. And I'm hoping that staff morale has been good, but then I hear Juan say that staff morale has gone down. So I just want to be clear of where we are, because it sounds like if we were to say tonight, we like the department the way it is, we know times are tough, but times are going to get better. So would they then say, well, we're okay with that? Because what I'm hearing is they're saying, no, that's not the case. So I'm okay with, let's get a formal proposal from Aurora Grande, but we want to spell out the details, and we want to know clearly up front, is this consolidation, or is this employees become Aurora Grande employees, and we go no further than that, and we are on these five-year contracts, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
That said, I agree with everyone on that point, but I would like to see maybe a further investigation of the county sheriff with respect to dispatch services, because if we're looking at ways to try and save money, if we can do that without reducing services, we should at least take a deeper look at both of them. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. I'm okay with a proposal from AG, and I just think that there maybe is an opportunity under the county sheriff's office that we just haven't looked at and gotten. And I know the chief shaking his head no, because I already know what his position is on that. So someone want to make a motion?
Wendy, I have another question. Before we go that direction, if we look further into the sheriff doing the dispatching, what happens to the fire dispatch under that scenario? Have you got any thoughts on that, or still?
Well, I guess the bottom line is, as I said earlier, the fire authority is its own entity. They can choose who they want to dispatch for them. If Aurora Grande provides them with a great proposal, why wouldn't they select Aurora Grande?
Okay, good. Okay,
I'm just. At least ask someone, correct me if I'm wrong, city manager or.
Certainly the fire authority would have the right to choose whomever they wanted to provide dispatch services.
And so then to just extend that discussion is, if the sheriff is able to provide dispatch services for police at the same level, and then we're able to repurpose resources to get more officers on the street or do some other enhancements, why is that not being discussed? Is that not a possibility? I'm just curious.
Oh, okay, so clarify that. So we would go to the sheriffs and ask them for a quote for not only fire dispatch, but also police dispatch?
No, I think what the chief is saying is that they got a letter late in the game. The sheriff's letter compared and showed a savings potentially of between $140,000 to possibly $200,000 with fewer dispatchers for police, but they also threw in one dispatcher from CAL FIRE for fire dispatching. And it sounds like he's not quite sure if that reduces service or not. And so I'm asking you all, is that worth even pursuing any further?
Oh, yes, I would say so, if we didn't get the full story here. So that would mean that we would go...
People are doing and vice versa. This is throwing another monkey wrench into the mix.
Yeah, and what I was saying was it doesn't have to be CAL FIRE. I don't think that's what his letter said. What I'm saying is if the Five Cities Fire Authority says, hey, we would rather have Aurora Grande dispatch fire only. There's nothing that says that Aurora Grandy couldn't dispatch fire only, and either Grover continues to dispatch police itself or the sheriff dispatches police itself.
You still wouldn't have one entity knowing what the other one is doing as far as fire resources.
Okay.
So how would that work? For example, I'm calling from my house, and I have a fire. I still dial 911? Or let's say I have a burglary happening, or somebody's breaking into my home. Do I still dial 911? So where does it go? Mm-hmm. Is it being routed around all over the place?
Well, the way for the fire authority, the way it works now, if you live in Oceano and you dial 911, your call goes to San Luis Obispo County Sheriff. If you live in Grover Beach, your 911 call goes to Grover Beach Dispatch. If you live in Arroyo Grande, your 911 call goes to Arroyo Grande PD. So if you're in Oceano and you need a fire response, SO then calls Grover Beach to dispatch it. If you're in Arroyo Grande, Arroyo Grande dispatches the call. What we're trying to do as a fire authority is to get into a single dispatch center, so one dispatch center can truly drop all the boundaries, have one CAD system, one AVL system, so that the closest unit or units respond to that fire. Okay.
Okay. Then, on the other side, so if you call for police assistance, how would that work if you had just one central place for fire, for dispatch?
Well, remember, if for police, your primary PSAP is now Grover or Arroyo Grande. If you consolidate into one dispatch center, all the 911 calls within this newly formed consolidated department would go to the designated dispatch center. So you'd be making one phone call, one 911 call for police or fire.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, since the chief is responsible for dispatch, any clarifications you want to add?
Just a couple, and the fire chief is correct in how the fire calls work. And what we're trying to accomplish here is the best service to our communities and the safest operation to our public safety, the fire and police. If we were to move towards any type of dispatch consolidation with the county, it pretty much takes off the table any type of consolidation with the Arroyo Grande, because that completely separates us. That moves us away from what the goal is that we want to do. If we want to move towards a consolidation with the Arroyo Grande, which in staff's opinion gives us the best model for communication purposes for law enforcement as well as fire departments as well as the communities, staff believes that is the best way that the city should move towards. You can call it total consolidation. You can call it contracting. When it comes down to it, we really want, staff and our association, obviously I can see what they've supported. We really want to see the best services that we can provide to our communities. I'm not so sure, and I say not so sure because we don't have a completed proposal from the sheriffs. It is a preliminary. But I can tell you from past experience in working with county dispatches, it is not a good thing for our communities. And if he only does three positions, we lose three job losses. There's job losses for our dispatchers. Granted, sometimes that happens. But it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for our association and for our personnel for what serves this community. But that's up to the council. My biggest concern with the county dispatch is the service levels to our community and the service levels to our fire department and our public safety, regardless of the cost. There could be a cost savings. There may or may not be, depending on what we would ask for down the road if we asked for the same level of service that we're getting now. But that's just something to consider. I think the calls for service is critical. When somebody dials 911, we want to get them the most immediate response that we can get, whether it be law enforcement or fire. And that's what we really should be focusing on.
Okay. So we have a lot of discussion, so someone want to try and fashion a motion on this item?
Do we need a motion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. So let me... So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay. Let's find, see where we are.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
If I could I request a couple minutes of a break?
Yeah. Let's take a five-minute break. I'm going to reconvene the regular meeting of the Grove Beach City Council for Tuesday, February 21st, 2010. And let's see. We had concluded with item number 7. We are going to continue item number 8 to the first meeting in March. What's the date of that
meeting? You know, Mr. Mayor, I would suggest we're going to be considering a special meeting for the 12th. The 5th is the next regular meeting. And that's the one we're going to largely dedicate to the lodge project.
Okay.
So unless you want to schedule both the lodge and this, I think the preference would be to probably continue 9 to a later date.
You mean 8?
8 to a later date.
Is that going to run up against any deadlines for trying to prepare a budget?
I don't think so. This is to give you a grounding on the development of your next goals, and I think I had that the next goal session on the 19th.
Okay. So then I don't think we need to have a motion on that, Larry. Just direction is good enough to move that to item number 8 to a. Should we move to a date certain or a date uncertain?
You can simply remove it from the agenda now and have it re-agendized for another meeting if you choose to do that.
Let's just do that. And then under item number 9, that item is going to be withdrawn this evening, and the appointments shall remain the same. Okay. Then moving on to our pooled consent agenda items, item number 5, I think this was the one requested to be pulled by Councilmember Monar, so or staff. So Phyllis, if you want to just ask your questions of Mr. Buckingham.
Thank you. I was concerned with the nature of this particular plan that we are going to be participating in, and if it's going to involve us committing to something that we have no idea about what's going to be in the future.
Well, two things I would say. First of all, there is an existing general plan land use policy that basically is committing the city to look at greenhouse gas reductions consistent with state law. So this is the starting step. As described in the work scope, they will come up with a toolbox. I would say a menu of policies that all the jurisdictions can consider that would be greenhouse gas reductions. And so ultimately that's what I believe I'll be bringing back to the council ultimately for a discussion and decision is here are a bunch of items to choose. Some may not fit our community better than others. And so I think ultimately the council will have the ultimate say in what you want to adopt as far as this climate action plan.
Then we will be able to tailor it for our community. We will not have to agree to something that involves everyone else.
Correct. There's been a few instances historically where the cities have come together to prepare some kind of policy document, whether it's a safety element or something like this. So yes, they are. That's why they say a toolbox, because they recognize that rural spread out of Atascadero is not the same as a compact grid system of Grover Beach. And quite frankly, we probably should have more positives built in based on our community layout for reduction of greenhouse gases. But yes, you'll get to choose from that menu what works best here.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions of staff?
Okay. Then do we have to move then to accept this particular?
Yes. Let me see if there's anyone from the public that would like to address this item. Seeing none, we close it. And so at this point, if someone wants to make a motion on this item, that would be appropriate.
I'll move for staff's recommendation on item 5 of the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Go ahead.
Okay. So second by Councilmember Bright. And let's see. Oh, this is a roll call.
Them this morning, and they are aware that our funding will probably not continue beyond June, and have set up a task force of some very solid, experienced citizens to figure out how to make up that $3,300. And I also met with Brad, the of Stacked Sandwiches, the current president. He has a great board, and we reviewed the contract with the chamber and looked at prioritizing the agreement as to what the chamber could do for the city. Mm-hmm. So we're moving forward on that, and the Slo County Visitors and Conference Bureau did meet last week, and they are still on target to try to bring the Ironman to the county. They're getting a lot of support for that. I spoke with Vole, who are the number one bike apparel manufacturer in the country, and they are based in Grover Beach with 100 employees, and they were excited about supporting that also. And so that's moving forward. Bend, Oregon has dropped out, which is good because it gives us a better possibility. Uh-huh. But it's a huge, huge event, probably bigger event even than our than the September event. I can't remember the name of it now. Anyway, the September Savor the Central Coast event. So it would be a huge, huge event and require a huge commitment from the county, but also bring great benefits to the county. And then the Slo County Economic Vitality Corporation meets tomorrow, but they did pull together a meeting with, for those who are interested, to speak with candidate Monning, who is running for Sam Blakesley's place. Mm-hmm. He's not running again. And so I did go to that. They're not endorsing any one candidate, but he is the only one running at this point. So I did want to get his take on economic development. He basically said that that it's dead, which we know, but that's his perception, that it's dead and not coming back, and that furthermore he's not sure that the housing aspect of it is even going to get through. So it was disappointing but not unexpected, and I think he did some straight talk, and I think he's well qualified. And so I actually pursued the economic development angle with them until I was told someone else had to have a chance to talk. So I hope I put our case well there. And that is all I had for tonight.
Excuse me.
Yes.
For interrupting. But I would like to make a request. I didn't realize the chamber met today. I thought they met next Tuesday. I was going to come. I really would like to know why no one from the chamber came to the opening of celebration of the 7-Eleven.
Well, I specifically went and asked the gentleman at 7-Eleven, the new owner, and he said there were lots of people there from the chamber. He said the chamber did come.
Hmm. Did they? Because
that's what he said.
The three of us were asked when we were there at the ribbon cutting, where was the representation from the chamber?
He said there were 1,200 people at the grand opening, and yes, he did speak to people from the chamber, and they were there.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Okay. That's good to know.
Good to know.
I don't know. Who was it?
I didn't take names. I'm not sure he could remember all 1,200 people. He's new to town.
So let's keep moving. There are no city council member items. Council communications. Anyone have any communications?
Nope.
The only thing I do have is I've received a couple of requests, one of which is from Mike Kasperzak, who is the president of the League of California Cities. There is an organization called Healthy Eating and Living Communities called HEAL, and want to know if there's consensus to have a resolution brought back to decide if Grover Beach wants to join the coalition. And if I think staff can get some more information and give us more details at a future hearing.
And this is the coalition of what?
It's called HEAL, Healthy Eating and Living Community, or Healthy Eating
Healthy eating and living?
Yeah. It's well, something like that.
I'm always up for healthy eating and living.
That's right.
What's the point?
So I don't have a lot of the information. I'll bring it back to you. Sorry to not be prepared on that item. I keep forgetting to bring it up. So, City Manager, important comments.
Yes, just very briefly, I've requested a special meeting be set for the 12th of March. The purpose of that would be to present the mid-year as expeditiously as possible because there are likely recommendations that I would like to make regarding the remaining end of the year expenditures. So that's essentially my recommendation. If the council's available at that time, it would be the regular meeting time.
That's a Tuesday.
Is the 12th a Tuesday?
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday?
Yeah.
For the 218 hearings on water and stormwater. So I wouldn't.
Okay, I believe I can do the 14th.
What about the 26th?
I keep my Mondays open, so I would be available on Monday for sure.
How does the 26th work it for anyone? That way it's not in the middle of the week. It's kind of the, we have an extra Monday in the month, so.
Oh, yes, I could do the 26th.
That would be a lot easier for me than the 14th.
I'm not sure I can make that.
Is that a joke?
He's joking.
Racquetball?
He's joking.
I don't know. Maybe I have to ask my husband if he'll give up on a Monday.
It comes with the territory.
That's fine.
I think that'll be a meeting that actually will be brief.
Right? Only one item?
Well, you know, we have the goals and to get to as soon as possible. I guess I could put those on the 19th then, okay. The one we continued. I'm just trying to get that back to you.
Do you want to just put it on? Why don't you just put it on the 5th? I mean, do we really expect there's going to be a lot of discussion in the lodge?
We can put it on the 5th.
Let's just do that. You have two items on it. It's a regular meeting. Let's just do that.
So the 26th is out.
So we'll put it on the same meeting as the Beachfront Lodge.
Okay, so then no more extra meeting.
That's right.
Okay, good.
The 26th, though, would be your budget meeting, correct?
What budget meeting?
The mid-year budget.
Oh, it wasn't.
Oh, wait. You crossed me up.
I'm sorry. The 26th would be your mid-year budget meeting, and the goals will go on the
I mean, so how long do you envision? It's just a report. Why do you want to do that on the 5th, too?
I'll probably be making some recommendations. And
We don't want to put it on that same meeting. Let's do it on the 19th.
Okay.
So what are we doing on the 26th?
We're not doing anything.
Nothing on the 26th. Okay.
March 19th is the budget.
Oh, no. And if there's items we can't, you know, the truth of the matter is if there's items that we can't get to, then we'll just continue to another meeting. I mean, we've been really diligent about getting through the items on our agenda, but there are many cities and communities that if they don't get through it, they'll just continue items to a next meeting. So let's do that.
So the budget is the 19th.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I think we got consensus.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, item number 11. This is adoption of a recognized obligation payment schedule. Ms. Chapman.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, on January 31st, 2012, the Grover Beach Improvement Agency ceased to exist pursuant to ABX 126, which was upheld by the California Supreme Court. Timelines were established by the court for various deadlines imposed by this legislation. Subsequently, the City Council took action and assumed the role of successor agency to take on the task of dissolving the Grover Beach Improvement Agency. One of the deadlines established by Health and Safety Code Section 341771 and amended by the court was the adoption of a draft recognized obligation payment schedule that needed to be adopted by March 1st. The draft is subject to certification by an independent auditor and later approved by the Oversight Board. This is a permanent schedule of the obligations that replaces the interim enforceable obligation payment schedule, which was approved in January. The county auditor controller will allocate property tax increment to successor agencies and pay debt as listed on the ROPS by May 15, 2012. The ROPS includes payments which are due in July for advances owed to the city and for debt service payments due August 1st for the 2005 tax allocation bonds. City staff was advised by county staff to include these debt service payments, which will be due during the first few months of 2013, to ensure that the funds are available to make those payments. Staff is presenting the draft ROPS for adoption pursuant to the court's new deadlines and applicable health and safety code sections. Attached is a copy of the ROPS and the resolution for the City Council's consideration. Staff is recommending that the City Council adopt the resolution approving the draft recognized obligation payment schedule and authorize the City Manager to take the following steps to ensure, take all follow-up steps to ensure the approval of the approved ROPS. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions of staff?
Not yet.
It's very similar to what you adopted.
What we had previously adopted.
In January, yes.
So, okay.
So what is the difference?
I have a question. Have these all been acknowledged as acceptable? Obligations, or would they, can they deny any of these?
They can still deny some of the claims. It needs to go to the Oversight Board once the Oversight Board is set.
All right, thank you.
And I may want to add, Mr. Mayor, in response to that question, that even if the Oversight allows it, it's subject to review by the Auditor Controller and the State Auditor Controller, so there's a couple
correct
of additional
fun
stuff.
Fun stuff. And what's our progress on the Oversight Board? Have we heard from any of the others?
Not as of yet.
Okay. Okay, very good.
That's it. Okay.
Does anyone from the public want to address this item?
No.
Seeing none, bring it back. Someone want to fashion a motion on this?
I will, if I can get to it. I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution approving the draft recognized obligation payment schedule and authorize the City Manager to take all follow-up steps to ensure adoption and approval of the approved ROPS.
I second that.
Okay, very good. There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. City Attorney, you got any reports or comments tonight?
No, just happy to be here.
And it looks like we have no closed session items.
No.
So I think.
Did we just point out that?
Yes, Councilmember Peterson.
I forgot to mention that I did show and tell tonight. I have for you all the publication from the Visitor and Convention Bureau for the year, and I also left with you the Pacific Business Times, which is a publication in which we receive some very nice coverage on page 8A and also extending, I believe, on to page 9A about not just wave surfing, Grover Beach gears up to offer hyper-fast access. So it's actually the first publicity, and it goes to three counties, to the business community in Santa Barbara, Ventura, and San Luis Obispo to see if we can't get some folks in here taking advantage of our speed of light fiber optics.
Yeah, awesome.
All right.
Thank you for that. Very uplifting. That's a great way to end the meeting.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, that's some good news.
So with